WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, and we have a great show in store for you all. Later on in the hour, I will be inviting our guest for today's show. Of course, you know him, Spartan Nation. His name is Morris Peterson, former Michigan State hoop great who had a great career with Toronto Raptors in the NBA and who is now, believe it or not, a broadcaster for the Toronto Raptors with the TSN crew. It's always great talking with Morris. He will join me on the show to, of course, highlight the moment that was Saturday night. Of course, the 2000 MSU men's basketball team was honored and recognized for their accomplishment of winning, again, a national championship. We're gonna have some fun with Mo Pete. You don't want to miss that. Also, we will be chatting about Pete Rose, who has been denied reinstatement to possibly qualify for the MLB Hall of Fame. Yeah, we'll dive into that. Also, MSU football has officially sold out its ticket allotment for the Cotton Bowl. And we'll also talk about Serena Williams being named as Sports Illustrated's Sports Person of the Year, which many people out there have a problem with. I'll dive more into that as well. We'll take your calls all the way up until 2 o'clock, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Tuesday, December 15th. All right, again, folks, Michigan State has sold out its allotment of 13,000 tickets for the December 31st Cotton Bowl against Alabama. MSU Executive Associate Athletic Director Paul Shager confirmed that. Shager said the tickets were sold to MSU athletics donors, university donors, and students. Fans hoping to purchase tickets can opt for third-party sellers such as StubHub.com, SeatGeek.com, or even Craigslist. Both StubHub and SeatGeek have a handful of standing room only tickets starting at $42. Non-standing room only tickets start around $155. Big disparity there. All right, Michigan State and Kansas remain the top two teams in the Associated Press college basketball poll. The Spartans, who are 11-0, are on a runaway number one, receiving all but one first-place vote from the 65-member national media panel yesterday. Kansas sits at 8-1. They were top. They were on top of the other ballot, I should say. Now, this is Michigan State's ninth week as the number one team, breaking a tie with St. John's in West Virginia for 26th place all time. Next on the list is Houston, which was number one for 11 weeks. The last season the Cougars were number one was 1982-83. The Detroit Pistons, that was a heartbreaker last night, wasn't it, folks? They fell to the Los Angeles Clippers at home in overtime last night, 105-103 the final. Blake Griffin finished with 34 points for the Clips. J.J. Redick had 24, and Chris Paul, CP3, put up 13 points and 12 assists. Reggie Jackson finished with 34 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists. Andre Drummond added 20 points and 15 rebounds. The Pistons will now move on to host the Celtics tomorrow night. Ryan O'Reilly and Johan Larson scored 101 apart late in the third period to give the Buffalo Sabres a 2-1 victory against the Detroit Red Wings at the Joe. Brad Richards, he scored for the D, who is now 16-9-6 overall, which had its 13-game point streak end. Peter Mrazek made 28 saves. The Wings now host the Vancouver Canucks this Friday night. As expected, the news wasn't good for Detroit Lions tight end Brandon Pettigrew and his knee injury. Coach Jim Caldwell said that Pettigrew suffered a torn anterior circulate ligament, better known as the ACL, in his left knee for the second time in his career during Sunday's 21-14 loss at the St. Louis Rams, and that he will go on season-ending injured reserve. Wish him well in his recovery. Pete Rose will not be allowed back into baseball, according to a ruling handed on Monday morning by MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. Now, this ends a year of will he or won't he involving the new commission baseball's embattled hit king, who was banned from the game in 1989 after admitting he bet on baseball. The question of whether Rose should be back in has divided the sport for years. And Manfred, though he has shown that he's open to radical ideas, he won't be the man to let Rose back in. We'll have more discussion on that in just a sec. Don't go anywhere. NBA referee Bill Kennedy has revealed he is gay in a statement to Yahoo Sports. He says, quote, "I am proud to be an NBA referee, and I am proud to be a gay man. I am following in the footsteps of others who have self-identified in the hopes that will send a message to a young man and woman in sports that you must allow no one to make you feel ashamed of who you are." Kennedy's announcement comes after Sacramento Kings guard Rajon Rondo was suspended for directing anti-gay slurs at officials, one of whom was Kennedy, during a December 3rd game. And last but not least, Jordan Spieth has been named as Golf Magazine's Player of the Year. His resume is quite impressive. He won the Masters in April by 4. The U.S. Open at Chambers Bay in June over Dustin Johnson, finished a shot out of a playoff at the Old Course in July, and took solo second at the PGA Championship at Whistling Straits in August. Plus the others, he won the Tour Championship at East Lake in Atlanta, secured 3 points for winning the U.S. President's Cup team in South Korea in October, and won two other tour events, including the year's two most entertaining tournaments, the Valaspar Championship in March and the John Deere Classic the week before the British Open, both in playoffs. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Time to start the show. Yeah, yeah.
Today, do we have it right here? Today, Sports Illustrated named its 2015 Sports Person of the Year, and it's Serena Williams, right there. Looking like she's... She's looking like she's Beyonce auditioning for Game of Thrones, I think. This year, incredible year. She almost got the Grand Slam, winning three of the four majors, over $10 million in prize money, won 53 of her 56 matches. I mean, give it up. Absolutely. No, I'm sorry. I'm a mistake. I was just saying, if you're another tennis player, consider giving up. But, and this kind of shocked me, this is too bad. Some angry internet people out there think that Triple Crown winner American Pharoah should have gotten this title instead, tweeting, "Disappointed that hashtag American Pharoah, the only nominee to actually win a Grand Slam, didn't get it. American Pharoah was robbed, so sad, and American Pharoah is the winner, hands down." Really? Winner, hands down? He has hooves. And they're always down. When the hooves go up, that's a bad sign with a horse. But American Pharoah has been very gracious. When asked whether he should have won, he replied, "Nay." You can use that joke with your 3-year-old grandchildren. Besides, the award is for Sports Person of the Year. American Pharoah isn't even eligible unless, and this is possible, he's actually two people in a horse costume, which itself would be quite an athletic achievement, especially for the guy in the back. A tough gig, but well worth it when they put you out to stud. Anyway, I'm not gonna do it.
Oh boy, boy, was that hilarious or what? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am the man behind the mic, always have been, Al Martin, and that was Stephen Colbert. Last night during the late show with Stephen Colbert, he's doing one fantastic job, of course, taking over for the late, great David Letterman. And I've been watching Stephen, you know, back when he was with, man, what was that show? That was on Comedy Central, I know, and he just rocked it out.
The Colbert Report.
It was the Colbert Report, exactly, Isaac. And he's always been one of my favorite TV personalities. And last night, I was just sitting there, because I'm a big Jimmy Fallon. I kind of go back and forth now. Ever since Stephen Colbert has debuted his show, I love him so much. I kind of go back and forth. I actually record on my DVR, the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon every single night. He's hilarious. But I just happened to be doing work at the time preparing for Current Sports TV last night. And after watching the news, of course, Stephen Colbert comes on, and he gives that epic rant about Serena Williams being named as Sports Illustrated's Sports Person of the Year. So deserving of the award. And I actually had a small rant during yesterday's show about that accomplishment for Serena. It's the first time in I don't know how long that a woman has been named as the Sports Person of the Year for Sports Illustrated. Long overdue. Long overdue, without a doubt. And you just heard, you know, after I got off the air yesterday, I saw this backlash and I was reading various articles about Serena being named as the SI Sports Person of the Year. And the primary backlash that she was receiving came from individuals that felt as though, just like Stephen highlighted in his monologue there, they felt as though American Pharoah deserved the award. And I sat there, first off, it's so comical to me, and I wanted to play that bite because Stephen Colbert, he's a comedian, and this is a direct realm into how comedy can really shed light on a lot of truths, is because when you look at this award, folks, this award is called the Sports Person of the Year. Person. Let's focus on that. Sports Person of the Year. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but American Pharoah is a horse, okay? He's not a person at all. And I just felt comical that people were trying to argue and justify American Pharoah as the individual who should win this award when the award doesn't even qualify for him to win it. And I just thought it was so funny. Now, don't get me wrong. What American Pharoah did this past year, I remember watching it myself. I was sitting there watching that incredible accomplishment to win a Triple Crown, the first horse to do so since Affirmed accomplished that feat back in 1978. Without a doubt, you tip your cap because it hasn't been done in my lifetime, in many of your guys' lifetimes out there. We haven't seen this feat accomplished. But finally, American Pharoah being that horse to break through and do that, certainly, an accomplishment to say wow. You know, it wowed everybody, without a doubt. But looking at Serena Williams, and not even just this year, to be honest. There have been countless other years where Serena Williams certainly could have won this award. But this season was so special for Serena because she came so close to winning that coveted Grand Slam award. She won three of four of the big majors. She came just short of pulling it off. Again, that's an accomplishment that hasn't been accomplished since like the 80s with Steffi Graf. She won three major titles. She went 53-3 on the year. Are you kidding me? Just think about that. 53-3 in an individual sport. Folks, this is not like, you know, you don't have help doing this. You're out there by yourself, just you and a tennis racket with the world watching you, and she goes out there and performs unlike anyone we've ever seen in the sport. Unbelievable. She amassed twice as many points as the world number two, and she did it while battling injuries. If you remember, she had bone bruises in both knees, which caused her to sit a few tournaments out. She was battling, sickness during most tournaments as well. I remember the tournament where she had like a fever of like 101 and, was just sick in the bed, and she's throwing up and sick before the tournament. Then she goes out and decides to warm up. She says, okay, well, I'm going to at least try it, and goes out there and wins that tournament. I mean, she was unbelievable this season. So I don't know how people can argue you know, the contrary, that Serena Williams does not deserve this award. Because at the end of the day, for those that say that are just coming off as tremendously salty. I mean, the saltiest of salty, folks. I mean, come on now. You can't argue with what Serena was able to do this season. I actually sat back and got a chance to read that Sports Illustrated article, which kind of breaks down the greatness of Serena Williams, breaks down the incredible year that she had. And it even goes into in depth about, you know, what she's doing as far as from an inspirational standpoint. Serena Williams, when people watch her play, she is inspiring so many people in the world of sports. First off, you just look at her. I mean, she's an African-American woman, first off. That blows my mind because I'm an African American myself, and there, when it comes to tennis in the world of African Americans, African Americans don't play tennis. This is how it's always been, folks, and it's the same kind of Tiger effect when Tiger Woods was playing. Yes, Tiger Woods was so dominant, but he was an African American playing in a predominantly white sport. I can honestly say when Tiger Woods was at the top of his game, and I've said this multiple times, he inspired my uncles to play. He inspired my dad to go out there on the links and give it a try. Serena Williams is inspiring not only young women, young girls in this world who want to make an impact and go far in the sporting world. We all know how much of a challenge it is for women to make it big time like men do in professional sports. That's one. But she's also inspiring young African-American women to at least go out there, try athletics, and become great at them. And that's such a big thing that we forget about when analyzing Serena Williams as a player and what she's doing. From an inspirational standpoint, she is inspiring so many people out there. I can't tell you how many times when I was watching Serena Williams compete for that Grand Slam, how many times I would tweet, because I'm always on Twitter. I'm always live tweeting whenever I'm watching a sporting event. You have no idea how many people tweeted me when I was sending out those tweets about Serena Williams' greatness. How many people tweeted me and said, I love her. She's my inspiration. Kids who would tweet me, who follow me on Twitter, I love her. She's so inspiring. I mean, just her overall aura is inspiring so many people out there. American Pharoah, on the other hand, I mean, really, who is American Pharoah inspiring? I'm just saying, I mean, it's great what the horse did. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to dilute the accomplishment of winning a triple crown. Hasn't been done since 1978. But at the end of the day, when it comes to American Pharoah, he's a horse. He's a horse, folks. It's not like people are sitting back saying, wow, I want to do what American Pharoah just did. Because you can't. You're not a horse, okay? He's not inspiring and impacting the sporting realm within the sport and beyond like a Serena Williams is doing. And I think that's a big reason why Serena was also named as Sports Person of the Year as well. Salute to her, Serena Williams. She certainly deserves it. Folks, our phone lines are open. We have a great show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. As I stated at the top of the hour later on, we'll be chatting with Morris Peterson, former MSU men's basketball and NBA player, great, who is now a Canadian broadcaster. Can you believe that? You can catch Mo Pete as an analyst for TSN out in Canada, breaking down each and every Toronto Raptors NBA game. How cool is that? Now, of course, Mo Pete, he was in town for that MSU in Florida halftime celebration of the 2000 MSU men's basketball team that won the national championship, of course. So we'll talk with Mo Pete about a lot. Also, later on in the week, folks, I mean, you don't want to miss tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's show is going to be a jam-packed show. I'll be chatting with former Michigan State football player Arthur Ray, who is a cancer survivor. He was diagnosed with cancer, fought through it, survived it, and is now an inspiration. You're talking about an inspirational dude. He is an inspiration to so many folks. He lives out in Chicago now. He is still chasing that NFL dream. Actually, the Miami Dolphins brought him in on the squad for a bit of a trial period. So we'll talk to him about the journey that he's had, the incredible journey that he's had. And then right after we talk with Arthur Ray tomorrow, get this, we will be chatting with Michael Buffer, folks. I've been a fan of Michael Buffer's for I don't know how long. Probably the most famous ring announcer in all of boxing. All of boxing. I mean, come on. He pretty much coined the phrase. He's trademarked the phrase, let's get ready to rumble. I mean, come on. And Michael Buffer, I can't wait for that interview. And I was chatting with Isaac. We've been pulling some big fish here, and I'm trying to pull bigger and bigger fish. And I was chatting with Isaac before we hit the show. But can you believe this, folks? I was so close. And I told Isaac about the email, too. I was just sitting around, just throwing around, you know, who I could get on the show in the next few days here. And I was so close to bagging Sylvester Stallone here on Current Sports. And Isaac pretty much lost his mind when I told him that. But I was just sitting there, and I got in contact with Stallone's agent. I wanted him to come on and talk about the movie Creed, which Michael Buffer is also highlighted in. And I was talking with Stallone's agent, and he couldn't do it this week. But there is a chance that we might have Sylvester Stallone on the show next month. I'm just saying. So it's some exciting guests coming here to the show. And again, you don't want to miss tomorrow's show. It is going to be a fantastic one. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And I got to bring up this. This is our first topic of discussion, if you will. Pete Rose, ladies and gents, he remains banned for life from Major League Baseball. Commissioner Rob Manfred, he announced on Monday that he had rejected Rose's plea for reinstatement. Now, he cited Rose's continued gambling and evidence that he bet on games when he was playing for the Cincinnati Reds. Manfred said in a letter sent to Rose and made public that baseball's hits king hasn't been completely honest about his gambling. The commissioner also noted that Rose continues to bet on baseball legally, even though his gambling got him into trouble, making it an unacceptable risk to let him back in the game. Now, first off, I want to say that this story did not surprise me, seeing as though Pete Rose has lied throughout his career, folks. He certainly has. And that's hard to ignore. I mean, you can go back, you know, and this is the recent news coming out about Pete Rose and the new documents obtained from ESPN Outside the Lines just really shook my head. And that really, for me, was the nail in the coffin. If there was the thing about Rose is he just hasn't been honest about it, because it's hard to ignore Pete Rose's resume. If you looked at Pete Rose's resume alone, the man deserves to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, in my opinion. He passed Ty Cobb as career hits leader with number 4,192 on September 11th of 1985. He finished his career with 4,256 hits, which is absolutely mind-boggling. He played for the Reds from 1963 to 1978 and from 84 to 86, acting as both a player and a manager from 84 to 86 and continuing as just a manager until 1989. But again, when you think about those hits, 4,256 hits, that blows your mind. Though that number alone should put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. But again, when you talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I think more so than any other Hall of Fame out there, maybe the other one that comes close is probably, you know, the NFL Hall of Fame and professional sports. Integrity of the game is so important, and character is so important. And sometimes, if you don't have those two intangibles, you are not going to make it. The committee is not going to vote for you. Simple as that. Now, again, for almost 15 years after being banned, Rose denied constantly that he bet on baseball. But then what happened in 2004? You all know that sit down on, I think it was ABC, which he changed his story, admitting to doing so only when he was managing the Reds. So he lied then. 15 years, he denied it. Then in 2004, he says, you know what? Yeah, I did it, but I only did it while managing with the Reds. So then he lies again. New evidence comes out. Again, Outside the Lines from ESPN, they report earlier this year, they produced documentation from one of Rose's former associates that catalog his bets in 1986 when he was still playing. Rose's attorney said at the time that his client wouldn't comment as he was in the process of reinstatement. And Rose has not commented on that matter since. And I don't know if he ever will. When you constantly lie about something of this magnitude, you really think the committee is going to say, hey, you know what? Your stats override that and you're going to be in, especially knowing how the Baseball Hall of Fame has acted towards you and how much they put character as an imminent value in their voting process, you really think you're going to get in? So to me, it did not surprise me that baseball decided to say, you know what? No, you're not going to get in. That Rob Manfred sent this letter to Rose saying, uh-uh, it's not going to happen. You have a problem, buddy, which he does have a problem. He has a sickness, to be honest with you. I can't believe that he's still betting legally on baseball, knowing that betting got him into this screw in the first place. But at the same time, if you're going to ask me, if I'm walking down the street and someone says, hey, Al, do you think Pete Rose deserved to be in the Hall of Fame? I have to say yes, based on his numbers alone. But again, knowing how baseball is, the coveted sport of baseball is, and knowing how coveted the Baseball Hall of Fame is, it did not surprise me one bit. The writing was on the wall that Rob Manfred was going to send this letter denying Pete Rose for yet another time. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. We have two callers right now. We've got Ray and Austin. Let's start with Ray from Indiana on line one. Ray, welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, buddy, did you get your Christmas card yet?
I have not, Ray. I've been waiting on it. Isaac told me that you sent it. I haven't received it yet, my man. I can't wait to see it, though.
You should have got it the last couple of days ago. Check your mail, okay?
Will do. And I appreciate you sending those holiday wishes, Ray. Much love, man.
God bless you, buddy. Hey, I'll make some comments on I used to go down when my kids were young. We used to go down to watch the Cincinnati Reds. I was a big Johnny Bench fan. And Pete Rose left the Reds, you know, when they'd won the two world championships for the money to the Phillies. So I never cared for him much then. And I still don't care about him. And his character is real shady. I know we should forgive him and stuff like that, but you can't keep lying about things, too.
And that's the reason why he isn't. That's the reason why Rob Manfred decided to, you know, he didn't want to be the guy. First off, Manfred, let's get that out there as well. Manfred didn't want to be the guy that let Pete Rose into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He didn't want to be that commissioner. That also weighs into this thing as though Rob Manfred, I mean, he's still in his infancy when it comes to his tenure as the commissioner of baseball. But at the same time, character is big when evaluating who makes it into any Hall of Fame, especially the Baseball Hall of Fame. So when that new report from Outside the Lines came out, I knew that it was going to be the nail in the coffin to that Pete Rose was never going to make it in the hall. The writing was on the wall, as I said.
I also want to comment on Serena Williams. She's very, very deserving. What a beautiful lady she is.
She is.
And I'll tell you what, didn't she almost die 2 or 3 years ago from some sickness she had?
I think that may be Venus that you're talking about. I know Venus had, I think, lupus.
No,
Venus
I think it was lupus. Serena, wasn't it?
No, I think that was Venus. I just want to confirm that, but I do believe Venus does have lupus. That's why she has to kind of temper how her season goes. She can't, you know, the wear and tear on the season to her. She sometimes has to sit out tournaments because of that.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I might have it mixed up. But check it out for me. But also, we're talking about getting people in the Hall of Fame. You know, Kurt Warner's up for the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame, February 6th, 2016.
Right.
And you talk about a man with character. He's got a lot of character, and they didn't let him in last year. He's got the top three passing records in Super Bowl history out of 50. He was 1-2 in the Super Bowls, but it wasn't his fault. He got the lead, and the defense couldn't hold it.
Right.
And also, go down as one of the top three Super Bowls in history out of the 50 is the ones he was in. And he's got the number two ranking of all time in NFL quarterback rating compared to Bart Starr, a great player with the Packers. When I was a kid, the Lions, I was a big Lions fan, they'd lose 7-6, 9-7 to Bart Starr. And Paul Hornung, they'd kick a field goal to beat the Fearsome Foursome. They had the Fearsome Foursome Rams and the Fearsome Foursome Lions back in the day.
Yeah, Kurt was good. Kurt was good, Ray. And we'll see.
He's got great character, too. He's building $2 million things for retarded children in Arizona where he lives with his wife and 9 kids. And I want to see that movie, Bad, Kurt Warner's story. And this never came out in 2.5 years since he signed the contract. So if any of these writers are listening, you better look better on your stats this time and put the man in because he's got a lot of deserving things, and I'd like to see that movie someday.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I know Kurt is your guy. Ray, great call. Appreciate it.
God bless you, buddy.
All right,
my
man.
Look for that card now, okay?
What's that?
Look for that Christmas card now.
I got you. I'll give you a call as soon as I get it.
Okay, buddy.
All right, let's go to line two. Austin. My man, Austin. What's up, Austin?
Not too much. How you doing today, Al?
I'm doing good, brother. All well?
All is well, especially when I get a free friendly greeting from my man Isaac when I call in.
Hey, always, Austin, yeah.
My man, even though you're trying to take his job, but that's neither here nor there.
We keep it convivial, yeah.
Go ahead, though, Austin. Go ahead, my man.
Hey, couple things, man. First off, you know, I got to start off with a little trash talk. You and Isaac were talking about getting some big hitters in to interview the show, taking a trip down to East Lansing. If you want, man, just call my agent, and I can come in and do a show.
But, Austin, we already get you for free. You know, we get you for free just calling in, dude.
You know what? I'd rather sit in the studio with you guys. You know, SVP had Russillo on as a guest last night.
Right.
On ESPN Midnight. So, you know, if you want me to come in as a guest, man, just let me know, and I'll have my people call your people. So
we would love that. We got to set that up, Austin. I got you. I got you.
I do it for Comedy Hour.
There we go. That'd be fun. No, that will really be fun, man. I'm going to hold you to that, though, whenever you get in town.
All right, man. Just keep me posted. Second thing I would like to talk about is the Serena Williams situation.
Yeah, definitely.
As Mike, the last caller, said, man, I think she's very deserving of her award. The Serena sisters did to women's tennis is kind of equivalent to what Tiger did with golf. It's like now you got young girls coming up now playing tennis and want to be great at tennis just to beat the Williams sisters. And so I think what they give for the sport of tennis, especially to the millennials and, you know, the urban culture, the hip-hop culture, everything, it got people wanting to watch tennis and pay attention to tennis and the excitement around, you know, her potentially winning a Grand Slam earlier this year. And the way she handled herself when she took that loss with so much dignity and so much class and, you know, really pay honor to the young lady who defeated her. I think she's very deserving of that award. And, you know, it's just weird how she, you know, she was ridiculed. She was kind of talked about because of her build and everything. And people just talk about her bad, man. And in a society where, you know, you have, you know, Caitlyn Jenner who, you know, won the Woman of the Year and got the ESPYs Courage Award, and nobody really talked about that situation. Nobody talked down about him or her. Excuse me. Nobody talked down about Jenner. Nobody, you know, degraded them. But the same thing has happened to Serena for simply being a great tennis player and coming close to winning the Grand Slam in tennis.
I could not agree with you more, Austin. And it really blows my mind that the last time Sports Illustrated named a woman as the Sports Person of the Year was actually back in 1983. Mary Decker won that award. Mary Decker was a famous track and field star. Unbelievable. Hey, great call, Austin. Appreciate it, dude.
No problem. Talk to you later, Al.
All right, my man.
All right, thanks, Austin.
Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with the man, the myth, the legend, Mo Pete, Morris Peterson, former MSU men's basketball great, and, of course, former player for the Toronto Raptors of the NBA. And he is now a Canadian broadcaster. How cool is that? We'll dive into that and so much more with Mo. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. It's like an all-hip-hop intro and outro I see on today's show, Isaac. Have you picked up? Well, you know, the album that I'm obsessed with right now that I can't stop playing is Odyssey's The Good Life. I can't stop playing that album.
The Good Fight.
It's called The Good Fight. I don't even know the name of the album. I just listen to it all the dang time, though. But, man, Odyssey is one of the most underrated hip-hop artists out there. I have to say that.
He is. Only 80,000 likes on Facebook or something like that. He's also a producer.
Yeah, he produces.
Some of Joey's tracks, different things like that. One of the most talented guys there is. He reminds me of Kid Cudi when he was first coming up, except he produces his own music, too. How good is that guy?
He's kind of like a J. Cole does that, too. He's a producer and a rapper as well. But, man, Gosh, Odyssey is so good. All right, folks. Well, let's get to our guest. Enough with the hip-hop talk. Let's get to our guest for today's current sports. Of course, Spartan Nation, you know him very well. He's a former Michigan State men's basketball great. He went to the NBA. He was drafted in 2000, round one, 21st pick overall. He played with the Toronto Raptors from 2000 to 2007, the New Orleans Hornets from 2007 to 2010. Exactly, your Hornets, right? Also in 2010 and 11, he played with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He is now a Canadian broadcaster with TSN, my man 50 Grand. Morris Peterson, welcome to Current Sports. Mo Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing, good brother?
Doing fantastic. It was great seeing you back in East Lansing on Saturday night. Of course, you along with that entire 2000 MSU National Basketball Championship team were in the house. What was it like coming back, Mo Pete, on Saturday?
Man, you know what? I'm still smiling, man. To be back, you know, I got a chance to see so many, you know, friends, family, you know, sharing the occasion. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, that national championship, you know, it's special to me, but it's special to a lot of people, you know, in this team. And, you know, to be back and see Jay Rich, you know, first of all, congratulations to Jay Rich on a great career. He just retired. See Jay Rich and, you know, and Mo and all the guys, you know, Steve Cherry and, you know, just all along the line, you know, we did, you know, AJ, we did something special. You know, we got a chance to put that banner up and do something great. And, you know, to get back and let our family, you know, see it and to be back home. I told everybody, man, I got a chance to let my hair down when I came home. Family, the kids, everybody came and watched the game. And, man, I had a great time. I'm still smiling, man. I'm still smiling.
Without a doubt, Mo. And you know what? You mentioned how big that moment was 15 years ago, and I still can't believe it's been 15 years since you guys won that national championship. But at the time, did you know how big that moment truly was, or did it take, you know, a few years to go by to look back and for it to really hit you, the immensity of that moment?
I'll tell you what, Al, each year it get more and more special to me. You know, when we won, you know, we were some kids, you know, we knew that, you know, Magic and those guys and what they did and how we looked at them, you know, as champions and doing some great things for the school. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to bring some pride back to the school. And, you know, just to get an opportunity to do that and be a part of that, man, I think every time I talk to Coach Yeez, I know he's like, man, Morris, you ain't got to thank me so much. You know, I mean, every time I'm like, hey, Coach, thank you, man. We get off the phone, I'll be like, hey, Coach, I love you, man. Thank you. He's like, oh, Morris, you know, hey, you know how he is.
Right. Enough with the lovey-dovey, Morris.
Yeah, right. You know, hey, we manly, man's man. So,
right, exactly, right?
No, it's great, man. This whole experience to see the new generation, you see the team that they have now. They kind of remind me of us, you know, in a sense, man. That's what when I got a chance to speak back at the reception, I got a chance to speak to the alumni, and I told them, I said, you know, looking at this group of guys, you know, you can tell they want to win. You can tell they got that competitive spirit, and they care about each other. And that's how it is with us. You know, we didn't care who scored. You know, we didn't care who got the defensive stop as long as you got the defensive stop. You know, and, mm-hmm. you know, we saw a guy going, we're going to try to keep him going. You know, and just little things that I see with the team, kind of reminds me, you know, to see them number one this year, you know, all the hard work, and you see Denzel, you know, last year when they got to the Final Four, telling Coach, hey, we're going to be back here. And that, and they kind of set the tone for this year. And, you know, he's coming off play big, too.
And you know what, Mo, it's funny that you bring it up because I heard that from, you know, from Mateen, he said, you know, he echoed those same sentiments as well as Jason Richardson on how this year's team reminds you guys so much of the team that you guys played for back in 2000. Is there any one player, I'm curious, is there any one player on this year's roster that reminds you a bit of yourself back in the day?
Well, I would say Denzel, but, you know, he got the triple-double, so I ain't get no triple-double when I was in school.
Okay, so no, we can cancel that out.
No, I'm just joking. No, you know what? I mean, you look at a guy like Denzel, you know, he's gotten better every year, you know. But I think the main thing is you're getting the young guys to buy in. Mm-hmm. The freshmen, you know, McQuaid has come in, you know, and play well. Deontay Davis is going to be a good piece for the team. You know, that's how it is when we came in. You know, when we were there, you know, we had Jay Rich come in as a freshman, and Alan Agande come in as a freshman. You know, we had guys who said, hey, what do we need to do? Okay, we're going to do this. And they just went ahead and did it. You know, Aaron Harris, I think Aaron Harris is going to be a big piece this year. Everybody know he's a scorer, but I think, you know, he's one of the most athletic guys on the team, and I would like to see him, you know, defensively, I think he could be a real good defender, you know, mm-hmm. just with his athleticism. And I told him that, too, when I saw him this weekend. You know, just, you know, the guys, man, the biggest thing is they buy in, and they care. They genuinely care when they mess up. Like, you know, when I messed up a play or if I missed a defensive assignment, I felt worse than the guys. You know, I mean, they'd get on me, but I felt worse. Like, you know what? I can't let them down. I have to hold myself accountable, you know, and that's where it started with us.
Now, you know, Mo, on yesterday's show, we actually had a good friend of the show on our broadcast. And I saw on your Twitter page, actually that night, you posted a tweet that says, quote, "Good to see you, big bro. You inspired me with your positive energy. Thanks for putting all those notes in my locker." And the guest that I'm talking about, and you actually have a picture posted with him on your Twitter page, is Steve mm-hmm. Fenimore, who's now the head coach of the East Lansing boys varsity basketball team. I had no idea about this story, but he told the story of what you just tweeted. Of course, him putting inspirational quotes in your locker stall within your shoe that you would read before each and every game. How did that mm-hmm. come about? Because I didn't even know that story, Mo.
Yeah, you know what, Coach Fenimore, man, a great positive energy. I love him, man. I mean, what he's done, you know, what he did for me in my career, you know, early on, me being a kid who, you know, I wasn't highly recruited. And, you know, sometimes during the course of your career, you know, you're going to get down. You're going to kind of doubt yourself in a sense. And, you know, Steve is one of those guys, he's special. You know, he recognized that. And, you know, I would look in my locker and just see different quotes. You know, players play tough, players win. You know, just only the strong survive. You know, whatever it is they call for that moment. You know, he would put a little inspirational message in my locker, and it kind of helped me with my mindset. So when I saw him, man, it was just like I said, I got a chance to see a lot of people who you know, played an integral part in my career, and it's great. You know, it was great to be back and celebrate that championship. And we, you know, that banner, man, that banner means a lot to me. It means a lot to my family. I got a chance to show my daughters, you know, and I'm glad I was able to show them my banner up in air, up in Raptors. even though they were eating popcorn, they weren't really paying attention as much. But they were like, okay, Daddy, you play? You know.
There's the proof right there. There's the proof. Just look up.
That's the proof. You can't take that away from us.
That is so true. And Mo, it's funny that you mentioned how, you know, every player goes through a maturation period where they doubt themselves in a sense.
Yes.
When was that point for you here at Michigan State where you were like, I don't know. I need something to get me through this time period. What led to that for you, and when did that happen for you?
I would say I kind of changed as a player when I broke my wrist. I was, you know, everybody knew I could score. You know, I could get to the bucket and stuff like that. But I think, I had to do whatever I could to get on the court because I really couldn't shoot the ball like I wanted. So I told Coach, I said, hey, I can play, you know. But he's like, I was like, I don't know how I can shoot. But my effort, you know, I'm going to give 100% effort out there. And, you know, he let me go out there and play with a broken wrist. You know, probably would I do it again? Probably so. But, I mean, it was one of them things where, I mean, it was like if I would have re-injured it, you know, it could have been, you know, more serious. But at the time, I was like, man, I just want to play. I want to get out there. So nothing else matters. You know, you can take my arm. As long as my arm don't fall off, and I'm good. You know, and I got out there playing defense. And it just changed me as a player. It just made me see, you know, defensively how I could help change the game.
Yeah, certainly. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with former Michigan State and NBA hoop great Morris Peterson. Now, Mo Pete, you had a great NBA career from 2000 all the way to 2011. You actually hold the record, I believe, for the most games played in a Dinos jersey for the Raptors. Is that true?
Yes.
Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Now, I got to ask you, I mean, you having the NBA career that you had, what's it like seeing fellow Spartan Draymond Green do what he's doing with the Golden State Warriors? And have you talked to him at all? And what are those conversations like?
Hey, man, you know what, man? I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that. You know, I mean, to see where Day-Day is, has come, you know, people said he was undersized. People have been counting him out all his life, you know, all his career. And he's proved people wrong. And it's great to see him out there, man. I mean, I'm so happy for Day-Day, man, and what he's done. And he represents what true Spartan he is. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, man, I mean, for a guy, you know, his age, you know, to do what he's done, to been able to, you know, he's had a career that a lot of guys have right now. The guys have had their whole career, you know, the success. And he deserves it. He really does, man. He works hard. He, you know, come from a good family, good city, a city kind of the same as Flint, you know, where you had tough times. And to see that positive, you know, see what comes out as a result of hard work, having people behind you, having the system at Michigan State, you know, I mean, it's great. It's great to see him playing so well. And I want to see him put up a couple some more of them centers up, you know.
That's what it's all about, right? It's all about the rings, baby.
Yes, sir.
And he is arguably the best, in my opinion, arguably the best all-around player in the NBA right now.
In the league, yeah, he is. I mean,
you know,
name another big man that can move like him, pass the ball, that can shoot, can care like. And then you got him on defense. That's going that should have, in my opinion, won Defensive Player of the Year.
Right, exactly. You know, I agree. Right.
I mean, you got somebody who, I mean, he's a very special player. I know a lot of teams looking over, scratching their head and saying, like, wow, they missed the boat. He knows that.
That is so true. All right, Mo P, before we get you out of here, I have to bring this up because, I this is very, very cool. I remember when we first had you on Current Sports TV. And you were still, of course, clinging onto the idea of possibly you returning to the game of basketball. But now, about a year has passed since we had you on Current Sports TV. And now I see your Instagram post, and you are now a broadcaster with TSN with the Toronto Raptors. How in the world did that come about?
Man, you know what? Man, they've been taking great care of me down in Toronto. You know, I went down there for an appearance in the summer, summer before last year. You know, I had an event, and it went well. Man, I've been blessed, man. I went to the event, and it was just like it was like standing room only, you know, and it was just unbelievable. And I guess I think TSN saw the impact and saw, people still they still kind of cared about me in Toronto, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they just asked me would I be interested, because I have done some stuff in the past with NBA TV and a few things with Raptors TV. And they just, you know, they offered me a job, you know, and I, you know, to talk about the game and still be around it, you know, that's really gratifying for me, you know, to get a chance to talk about the and be a part of the new game, be a part of the new NBA and the players. And I still have good relationships with a lot of the guys. Mm. So whenever they come back in town or if I'm broadcasting, I get a chance to see them. And, man, I mean, to talk about the game, I would be sitting at home or in a barbershop talking about the game. So for the fact that I've been blessed to be a broadcaster and to talk about the game and get paid for it and get to travel, like the game of basketball has never ceased to amaze me. It has taken me so many different places, and even when I'm done, it's taken me even farther. So, mm-hmm. Man, I'm so blessed, man. It was an opportunity, and I'll never take anything for granted.
Well, I tell you what, Mo, you are doing one fantastic job. I have NBA League Pass, so I have the privilege of tuning in every once in a while, seeing you do your thing. And I got to know, how is the clothing line doing? I know World Artist Refuge is a clothing line that you started up, right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
How's it doing, man? Do you guys make suits? Because you're going to be wearing a lot of suits on the air now, Mo.
Man, I think we might have to transition over to suits, man, because, you know, T-shirt's cool, but, yeah, man, I got to get some suits. I got to – You know what? You gave me another idea.
There you go. Hopefully I get a cut of that check, right? There we go.
Look, I got you.
There we go. All right, the one, the only, Morris Peterson, former MSU and NBA hoop great, now broadcaster with TSN.
Go for the green.
There you go. Go green with the TSN, with TSN for the Toronto Raptors. Mo, always a pleasure having you on the airwaves, my man. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, good brother. Spartan Nation, appreciate all the love and all the support. Hey, we're gonna celebrate this victory when we beat Alabama and win the national championship in football. Then we're going to come back and have a good one this year in basketball, baby. We here.
There you go. Got to love it. Mo Pete, the one and only. Mo, thanks so much.
No problem. Take care.
All right, let's hit a brief second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this edition of WKR's Current Sports by talking about Bill Kennedy, the referee that announced he's gay after Rajon Rondo popped off with a slur that no one should mouth. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. If you're just now tuning in, hey, you're kind of late. 7 minutes left in the show. We just wrapped up a great conversation with Michigan State, an NBA former hoop great, Morris Peterson, who's now a broadcaster. Have you got a chance to check out Mo on the air? He's pretty good, Isaac.
I have. I've, you know, flipped around league pass, like you said. And
yeah.
He is pretty good. And the Raptors this year, they're making their runs here and there. They gave the Warriors actually their first really great game of the season earlier in the year.
They certainly did. All right. Well, again, with only 7 minutes left, we got to make these two calls quick, but I want to get them on nonetheless. Let's go with Mike from Saginaw right now on line one. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, Mr. L. Martin?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
I'm all right, man. You know, before I'm going to make this fast, but I was at the library today, and I just pulled up G-O-A-T, LL Cool J's album, and I didn't know that was the only – now, that's the only one number one album he had. I was really surprised when I read that, man.
Really? That's shocking. I thought that he would have had countless others that hit the number one on the Billboard charts. That's shocking to me. Okay.
You know what? That was the record when him and Jamie – Jamie Foxx was going back on any given Sunday. Remember, they had the locker room tight.
Yeah, that's an old album. That came out in 2000. That was his only number one album. Okay, that's
yeah, that was his number one.
Okay,
here's my question, man. I was listening to your radio this morning down to your competitor down in Ann Arbor. He was talking about the Missouri legislature. One of the legislators brought up this law about the college athletes. They will lose their scholarship if they join into a protest, man. And I just couldn't believe that a legislator would have got so much time on their hands. We got a lot of problems even in Missouri. He's going to sit here and legislate something that if the athletes stood up and show their rights and stuff, that they can take away their scholarship from them. So I just want you to comment on that one.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike, for the call. Appreciate it, my man. I did not hear that story. I have to look that one up. I don't know if you heard that one, Isaac, but you better believe I'm going to comment on that one tomorrow, though. I didn't even get a chance to check out that one, but that sounds fishy. I will say that. It does sound fishy. Let's go to line two, Jody from Canada. Jody, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Al? First, man, we hear our Mo Pete up here. I didn't know him when he was in town, you know, because I was an older Spartan from the 70s, and I didn't venture out to, you know, I followed the team. But, and also about the think it's a Missouri representative. He's trying to introduce a bill that says if an athlete protests or does anything like that in regards to any of the issues going on, that they will lose their scholarship.
Wow. That's wrong. That's just plain wrong. That's what that is.
If athletes or those in power with power don't stand up, who will?
Exactly. Because they can affect change directly. We saw what happened with Mizzou's president stepping down. I mean, you had the entire football team protesting and saying we're not playing a game or even, you know, involved in any football related activities until he does step down. That they affected change directly, and now they want to do this? I tell you, that's craziness. That's craziness.
There's never a wrong time to do the right thing.
Exactly. That's right.
You know, and that's one thing we forget. I'll go ahead and let you, you know, put the bow on it, man, but I did listen to the whole show. I just called late. But then again, like I say, you know, there's never a wrong time to do the right thing. And I think they're going to vote that stuff down. But, yeah, that is – you'll see it today when you get off the air.
Definitely have to check that one out. Jody, thanks so much for calling, my man.
All right. Take care.
All right. You do the same. I haven't heard about it. Have you heard about that one, Isaac?
Yeah, wow. Michael just gave me the quick briefing while he was on the phone with me behind the glass, but that's all I heard of it. I'll have to do some more research as well. But
I smell Barbershop Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Hey, Wednesday's tomorrow. I smell a Barbershop Wednesday coming with that one. But also I want to bring this up as well. I'm sure you saw this story as well, Isaac. Brief thoughts on this. Bill Kennedy, veteran NBA referee Bill Kennedy, announced he's gay. You know, I read the quote at the start of the show. He said, quote, "I am proud to be an NBA referee and I am proud to be a gay man. I am following in the footsteps of others who have self-identified in the hopes that they will send a message to young men and women in sports that you must allow no one to make you feel ashamed of who you are." Of course, this announcement comes after the wake of the ejection and subsequent suspension of Sacramento Kings guard Rajon Rondo. Earlier this month, Rondo was given two technical fouls and ejected by Kennedy during the second half of their game against the Boston Celtics in Mexico City on December 3rd. Rondo approached Kennedy after a first technical and yelled at him things that I cannot say here on our airwaves. What is your reaction to this story, Isaac?
Yeah, you know, anybody in the NBA knows Bill Kennedy. I think it's just unfortunate that players sometimes do get this leash from NBA referees. Big names like Rajon Rondo, LeBron James, they can go off at referees and not even receive a technical when other players, smaller players, would really get bashed and thrown out of the game. And here, Rajon Rondo did, and that was the right call. But, you know, it's not really surprising to me. I think Greg Popovich had the best take on it. And basically what he said was, is it unfortunate? Is it sad? Sure. Is it surprising? Not whatsoever. If you watch NBA games, you know what some of these players say. And, you know, they show the up close, and you can tell the producers for those shows quickly regret it because some of that lip action is not saying such nice things. So it's part of the game. It's unfortunate that it happened, but at the same time, I'm not sure what can be done to prevent it either.
You know what? What really got me, though, is I was surprised that the NBA only gave Rajon Rondo only one game.
Me too.
I think at least three games for something like this, and you certainly find him to send a message to anyone else in the league that if you do something stupid like this and you decide to cross the line, there's a fine line between voicing your opinion about a call and then completely insulting someone. And that's certainly what he did with, again, veteran referee Bill Kennedy here. You give him a light slap on the wrist with one game, you got to send a message to the league here. And I just think that one game is going to do nothing to send a message to Rajon Rondo, let him know that he screwed up. We'll continue that conversation and more tomorrow. Again, folks, you have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Have a great afternoon and be easy, people.